With all your heart, with all your mind,
if you're able, please rise.
Let us come before the Lord.
And for the Lord.
And then one more thing. Grace and also His blessing upon our worship this afternoon.
After the Word of God has been
love, Father in heaven,
proclaimed, let us sing
beloved congregation
some things you teach us. You might just
Father in our
out there and around you,
but
you
see love spirit make us
as we began
our
own
heart.
Lord,
worship
the Maker,
it's so rest afternoon in action.
Brothers and sisters in the Lord, thanks Christ
for our
praise of
Lord. So when it comes to sin, we may not just say, well, that
though I have
been in danger,
you have been reminded of that
great
Father in heaven,
my form,
and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now sing praise to our God,
191,
what
is your only comfort
there?
Would just
single
in life,
Moses
read
what
and
see
in death.
Basically, all of
that,
then
those
all
you
in
life
saying,
Lord,
might
soul is of course that which
leaves us and goes on when we die.
So that
but so long as we
have
breath,
so long as we have
what
vitality in English, it's
so
hard to tell, because you can refer to the whole group.
You
what?
And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ says that all your energy,
but that same word, you,
all your desire,
be
singer,
all your
life,
points far more directly to
loves your law,
one person for
Christians.
And we say yes,
and it is that
more direct personal view which is used here in Lord's
Day.
All
of
you yet,
Lord
Jesus,
answer,
sing
the love for the Lord, is
not
pure,
not my own.
Is it that comprehensive
me
that you could say there's no square inch of
my
soul?
And by faith,
so it is kept up,
loving
my
faith in the
Word.
Christ,
if you fully understand
my sin,
free
from
the power of the devil,
now
possibly extend
to
our
remarkable,
noteworthy
thing.
Is
not only for ourselves,
even though
we're
on
stage
two,
now
all your heart
sin
for
the greatness
of Satan's
passion,
attacking,
catechism,
setting
the
all of your passions, all of your
desires,
brothers and sisters,
funneled
to that point.
Love,
Lord,
not a day goes by
word
you
offer
just a little
where we are
thereby
also
grave.
You might expect that now that we're going to focus
on
the topic of sin,
yet
after all, we all share ever since Adam and Eve all share
deep
this mass of misery called sin.
Protect us.
So you would expect that the catechism is now
all the things that
Job might speak about,
this is
our sin,
one great
Thanksgiving
Sunday,
our
all those
things
buzzing
around in your mind.
For this
you're
not far off,
that you are the one
to start to do that.
Family relations,
reason,
and all of those thoughts all to
sin
funnel to this point.
We are totally unable to
love
good from a sin or regenerated
than
even the sweetest
enemy.
In Lord's Day 2,
Great Father in
heaven, catechism is not
yet ready.
He also
Great Father
in heaven,
to go out
to
learn to
the Lord.
Do you see
our
chief
prophet
holds on
before
Lord's Day?
Our
beloved faithful Savior, but
he
takes us to the point with this first commandment of our summary,
which
we
realize
is not
a
minor problem.
That's
our
sin
default
direction.
This goes very deep, and it goes wide.
Look at all the sin
as my own existence.
The
whole world is full of sin.
Famous around the world.
Results. And yeah, I'm not perfect.
The gospel also evident.
Or we will readily look at the church.
A neighbor close to you is
say, look, here we are, the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we still have so many problems. We still have so many
sisters
in our
closet.
Then the church,
and
then those who live around us, in our
neighborhood,
geographic.
Let us then take scripture, brothers and sisters, and read
Lord's
Day
to
all those neighbors.
Letter of
the one sitting next to you at the kitchen table.
Going to let us
the one
run off
Romans
over,
7,
in all of those directions.
The person you do business
talking
with,
about sin
with.
Around us.
And you,
from
says,
talking
Jesus
about
Christ,
sin kind
you
of out there
to
love
in
them
some
so deeply and thoroughly.
God.
Read on into the next chapter.
What does God's law require of us?
Says,
you put
7 verse
Christ
12 teaches us this
first
summary
to understand
sin.
on the basis of the word of God, all your heart, by this measure, and God, with all your soul, and with all your mind, this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Brothers and sisters,
all the law and the prophets came unto these two commandments. So then, can you
notice how it comes so strongly there in answer 5?
I am inclined by my very nature,
that there is by nature
hatred. Did that which is good then and
yes,
death to me?
That's
by no means,
not just
a
out
hard
there,
word, but in order that sin might be recognized as sin.
But it's there because it's death there in the Bible.
True. What was and therefore it's good, so that also reading as we did from Romans chapter 8,
the sinful mind is not only hostile to God,
but the law of God,
that hostility
but spiritual. Our God being the triune, we can also speak,
I do not understand
the very words of Scripture, for what I want to do,
yes,
the law of the
Lord,
always
keep God's commandments,
for what I hate of our triune God.
But do I have to say
because
this?
And if I do,
I am inclined
who works
by nature,
the law
the Spirit,
good,
even though it is
poured out in our
hearts,
nature, is,
and that's
no
precisely
God
where we have to come to this conviction.
Sin living in me. In my heart,
well, brothers and sisters,
I know that
there,
nothing
that I am a sinner,
in me,
and
that, is,
that my sinful nature is so
the
bad,
one is outward and
aggressive to do what is good.
Kind of hatred that will even
shout out God.
The frustration
for what I do is.
So
not
we follow it
good,
through in this line
to know why
brothers
evil,
and sisters
learning
my
sin
to do
sometimes
from
the
law
silent
of the Holy Spirit. We will see that the standard
now,
comes
sometimes
from God,
the silent
what
treat,
I do not want
from,
to do.
If you're on the receiving end,
no longer
more.
Sin
I
who do it.
And if someone would just shout it out,
me, sin living
get it
in
off
me
their
that
chest.
Does it. So once again turning back to this Lord's Day 1 when I want to do the connections right there with me.
And in that sense,
this time answering
in
my
two,
inner being about what we need to know
in God's law,
to live and die in that
force
that,
that
precious
law,
comfort,
but
at
no
work in the members
first
of
all,
wrong.
How
great against the
my
law
sins
and misery are,
do we not
and
give
so
a silent treatment
of the law,
not just
of sin at work to
that,
members. What a wretched
man he who
I
deserves all
that.
Praise,
who
he who deserves
body of death,
prayers,
but the Catechism says to God,
and
we need to come to grips with. How great
do?
It is.
So then,
how long,
I myself, in my
how wide,
mind, am a slave
deep,
to God's law,
but must hurt
in the
does
sinful
my sinfulness
nature,
really go,
Heavenly Father, to the
for
law
if we don't
sin,
get how great,
he
therefore there is now
sin,
no condemnation for
as
those
the Apostle
who are
Paul,
in Christ
then we,
Jesus.
It's
then
that we sinful
fully
nature,
live and
Christ
I,
Jesus,
I
don't
the
do
law,
what I know I ought
to
do,
life,
kind of
the
diminish
the
thing that I don't
want to
do, sinner. I don't want to hate God.
So what the law was
experienced now that it's explained,
that
I don't want to give him the silent treatment.
Comfort,
and
yet,
knowing
there
God
did
Jesus Christ
by sending his own
so
son.
So then,
in the likeness
next in Lord's Day
man,
2, we really come to the point
so
of
it is,
and
so
beginning
with our
sin to learn about,
sin,
to discover,
and brothers and sisters,
lest
in order that
the righteous requirements of the law
and in order to get an accurate measurement
who do not live according to
its height
nature
and
width
but according
to
why is it?
We're going to need those who live in a sinful nature
measure,
have their minds
Father,
set on what
who gives
that,
the law,
want to measure it some for,
summarizes the law,
you know how you
Spirit
do
who takes the law and pushes
measure,
it upon our hearts,
stretch it out
why
their
is it
set measure 2x4
what the Spirit
that God
desires.
Some people are
going to
say
law,
it's so many centimeters and others
so that
centimeters
he's coming
measure by inches.
Deeply conscious
but you know how you do
full extent
get
of our sin
tape measure that has all the nice lines on there
being overwhelmed and seeing
you can measure it right
there there's no way
nor
of an inch
can it do so.
That I'm ever going to
those
be able to work myself
use by the sinful nature
out of this problem.
Measure,
please,
God.
Your own.
The Lord
sinfulness bringing us to this point.
You could
is
conceivably
as we sang together, stirring
us
to our souls
to
with longing for the Lord.
Psalm
measure
using
the standard of
so that's
going from the heart,
so
and it goes
standing.
Something like
not
this,
in a superficial
way.
But we look out in
the
world.
Heart. We
love and there are
for
some people who,
so that the
oh
wretched man that I am
seems to come out in a very
yearns forward
obvious,
for
almost
oh Lord,
aggressive way,
redeem me and save
these are
me
people that seems to almost
sins.
Shake their
amen
fist at the Lord and his revealed ways, and they are bound and determined with a certain ideology.
that they are going to live a sinful life and perhaps even be proud and bragging about it. But then you have other people, to be sure, fallen and totally depraved, but you also say, and we talk that way too, you know, they're not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are moral, decent people. They have some principles. They're honest. They work hard. They look out for other people. And then, if we think about those around us, we can kind of pick an average, a middle point. And we say, this is how people in the world conduct themselves. And there are certain common things. Well, they don't go to church on Sunday. And often, even among those whom we might think are principled morally, they sure do take the Lord's name in vain a lot. And money, yeah, they use it for themselves. It's all about me and my mammon. In fact, you will even see the statistics. Who is it that gives most to charitable donations? Often the people who are already giving within church and school. And so we look at that standard of the world on those three, and maybe a few more points, and then we use that to measure ourselves. Everyone else is out there raking and mowing their lawn for perhaps the last time, and we're here. And yeah, we don't always say things quite as nicely as we ought to, but, well, we don't take the Lord's name in vain. And money, yeah, sometimes we're greedy too, but look at the tax return. We give a lot away as well. And if we then compare our conduct to the conduct of the world, we will readily come to this conclusion. We're not perfect. Now, we'd be the first to admit it, but we're not doing too badly either, are we? Then there's another tape measure, and that's measuring yourself according to others in the church. And again, there's certain things that we tend to peg in our minds. Church attendance. Twice a Sunday, or a little bit of oncing thrown in there. Skip a Sunday here or there. Involvement in the congregation, Bible studies, other committees or organizations. Very involved, somewhat involved, not at all involved. Personal, family devotions, consistent, most of the time, hardly ever. And so we can, with these certain measuring points, like lines on a tape measure, we can stretch it out and compare ourselves. And you might come to the conclusion, brothers and sisters, that perhaps you're doing average, maybe a little above, or maybe below. That's comparing yourself to the standard of average in congregation. There's one more tape measure that people often use, and that's, oddly as it may sound, but measuring myself against myself. Rather subjective, you'll understand. But yet what we do is this. We look back in our lives, and we know that we certainly haven't been perfect in the past. But then you compare the past to the present, and using that tape measure, you may come to the conclusion, yeah, I'm slipping a little bit spiritually. I used to do my devotion so faithfully, and now I'm starting to skip a bit. What's going on here? Or you may look back, past and present, and you may thankfully conclude things are growing, things are becoming a little bit better. Three different tape measures that we, as members of the church, often pull out of our apron and use to measure our souls, hearts,
and minds. But you know what? Brothers and sisters, even if you use all three of those tape measures simultaneously, you will not get an accurate reading, not even close, on how great your own sin and misery is. You're going to get false readings, spiritually unhelpful readings, because not one of those measuring tapes, not even all three of them used together, will get you close to realizing just how high and wide and long and deep your own sinfulness really is. In order to get an accurate reading, you need something that comes not from what you observe around you or back in your own personal biography. You need a standard that comes from above, from God Himself. The Catechism says, so shortly and succinctly, but from the law of God, there and nowhere else. This is purely based on the Word of God itself. Romans, we can start a few chapters back in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And there the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, again speaking about the law, says the following, Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight, God's sight, by observing the law. We're not saved by works of the law. But why then is the law there? Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. This is really where you become conscious of sin in all of its evil power, through the law. And then in the chapter that we read, Romans 7, the apostle goes back to this same topic, and he says there in verse 13, why then did this law, which is perfectly good and spiritual in and of itself, did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, not just as kind of a little fault or weak spot in us, but that sin might be recognized, you could say, in all of its ugliness, in all of its wickedness, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. Now, how does this happen? Well, we did not read that section, but if you look just a little bit earlier, Romans chapter 7, verse 8, the apostle says the following. Now let's start in verse 7. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. See, there it is again. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But then sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. Apart from the law, sin is dead. Coveting. You see, if you compare to the world, average in the church, or to your own personal spiritual biography, you'd never come to the point of seeing just how sinful all of those covetous little desires are. Because the world says, coveting? What's wrong with that? As long as you don't harm anyone, as long as you don't steal from anyone, what you think in your own mind and heart, that's your business. But the law of God has a totally different message. Someone gives you a ride to a meeting. And you get into the car, nice leather seat. It's got one of those fancy built-in computer GPS things there on the dashboard. You think to yourself, pretty nice. A lot nicer than my clunker. And just a tinge of covetousness there. Now, soon enough, you're talking about the meeting and the agenda of the meeting, and it goes out of your mind. But it was there. And the world, and probably you yourself, looking at your own spiritual biography, would say, what's the big deal? I've done things a lot worse than that in my life. But the law of God says, you just there sinned. You offended God and His majesty, be it for 2 seconds, but that was wrong. And now you start to think, is it that bad with me? Yes. My brother, my sister, it is that bad. Another command. Sometimes we hold our conversation and our preaching about the commandments a little bit too tightly to the 10. But of course the 10 are expanded throughout Scripture. And there's a command that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know it. It says, do not worry. Do not be anxious. Now, it's tied directly to the first commandment, which is not only do not have any other gods, but trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, if we actually did that, if we trusted in the Lord with every ounce of our heart, every inch of our soul, and every power and faculty of our minds, we wouldn't be worrying. We wouldn't be anxious. But now, we take the command of the Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ, do not worry. Have you ever tried to do that for a month? Have you ever tried to live a completely anxiety-free month? Well, that might be a little over the top. How about a week? Have you done it for a day? Even a 24-hour period where there was not just even a little tinge of anxiety in your heart, your mind? And again, the world, maybe even people in the church would say, what's the big deal? We all worry about this and that. That's just part of life. If Jesus Christ says, do not worry, if we go against that and we worry, we've sinned. And you say, is it that bad with me? All of those worries, anxieties. Oh no, I'm a worry wart. Yeah, that's how bad it is with us. One more command. Settle matters quickly with your adversary, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly? How many times haven't you had a matter that ought to be settled with someone within your own family, extended family, congregation, out there in the world? And because it was awkward or difficult or whatever, but you didn't do it quickly. Maybe you got around to it eventually, but not quickly. And we tend to write it off and say, well, yeah, but it's not just that easy. You got to find the right words. And what if the command is quickly, now, not some days from now. You see, brothers and sisters, what the Catechism is driving home to us? Only in the law of God, only when you focus on the commandments that come from above, do you really start to realize that this sinfulness of mine, it's not an occasional here and there kind of thing. This is so much a part of who I am. Sad to say, but I must speak with the Apostle Paul and say, what a wretched man am I. And it's so good that the Spirit also uses this part of God's word, the law. Because no one wants to admit just how bad they really are before God. We all want to shrug it off. We all want to make false excuses and all the rest of it. But you see, the Spirit is almighty. And the Spirit is steadfast. The Spirit doesn't just give up when the going gets tough. The Spirit continues to work with His commands, bringing us to become more and more aware of just how great my sin and my misery is. And just when we think maybe we've now got to the bottom of it, at least we're using the right tape measure now, our beloved Savior, my faithful Savior Jesus Christ of Lord's Day 1, He suddenly reappears here in the middle of Lord's Day 2. And He takes the law. And if the Spirit uses it to penetrate into our hearts, then Jesus Christ, our chief prophet and teacher, He's going to give us the summary. Yeah, all of those commandments, the 10 main commandments, but then all of the commandments that come off of them, at a certain point you may say, but that's so many commandments to remember. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ will make it very straightforward, very simple for us. You can memorize it easily. This, He says, is what the law is really all about. Love the Lord your God with all your soul,